Today, in the Attorney Career Advice podcast with Harrison Barnes.
Increasingly gone.
Or you say that the law firm is going
to. But I say I'm not wedded to that number.
I'm just talking to a partner at a big firm.
Okay, so we're going to get started. This is a great topic, and it's something that I've never presented on before, and it's also not on BCG. So if you've ever, and it's new content, so I'm presenting it here first. I will start the webinar and go over the presentation. And then after the presentation, we'll open up for questions. And since it's a live webinar, you can ask pretty much questions about anything that you want related to your career or related to the webinar. And usually the questions are a lot of fun. People have great questions. And that's actually my favorite part of the week, talking about questions and reviewing them. And so we will get started. So one of the things that I've noticed at BCG, and it's actually getting a lot worse. It used to be if somebody was going out on a law firm interview, probably 50% of the time they would end up getting an offer. And over the past several years, those numbers have increasingly gone down, both at BCG and other companies we have, such as like Law Crossing, which is a job consolidator where people sign up to look at jobs that aren't on other job sites, essentially. And so theirs have gone down as well. It's either that legal employers are getting more competitive to get jobs at, or that people are starting to make a lot of interview mistakes. And a lot of these mistakes actually started when the economy was much better for people getting jobs around the time when COVID and law firms started getting a lot of relief money and that sort of thing. So I think people got more arrogant about being able to get positions. And so now those numbers are going down, and they're going down a lot. So legal employers are interviewing more people. They're seeing more things in your background that are mistakes when you're interviewing, and they're less likely to hire a lot of people because of things that they're doing in interviews. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. This is all new content that's been created in anticipation of this webinar. I think it'll be a really good webinar. There are a lot of people, though, even today, that are able to go and get every job that they interview for, and others who seem to consistently not get jobs after interviews. And when I see people get every job that they interview for, there literally are people that I've seen that will get five interviews or whatever the number is, and they'll actually get every single job that they interview for. And it could be extremely competitive, difficult to get firms to get jobs at. And it could also be easier ones, but there are literally are people do it. And what I'm going to talk about today are the things that they do that makes it much easier for them to get jobs. And they're things that you need to understand. So here are the most major mistakes that people make. These are ones that almost everyone makes a few of them, but these mistakes are things that people that get jobs simply don't do. If you go into an interview and the first one is saying something negative about your former or current employer, the odds are that wherever you're interviewing, the organization, the law firm is going to believe that the situation in your former employer, your current employer was not great. And that's okay. People leave jobs all the time to go to better places. Partners leave jobs, associates leave jobs, everybody. It's not a big deal if you're leaving a job. But when you start saying something negative about your former employer, this makes you look angry, bitter, and like someone who just couldn't get along in that environment. And the interviewer is going to wonder if you'll have the same problems again if they hire you. One of the funniest things I ever see is when people are leaving huge firms, and they'll be leaving a firm like an awesome firm like a Melvany or some firm that's been around for 150 years or something, and they'll say, oh, everything's going downhill at that firm, no one's happy. And obviously a firm that's been around for 150 years or 100 years or is like one of the 10 largest, most successful firms in the country, when people start saying things like that, they look crazy. But they actually go into interviews and they'll say something along the lines of, everyone's leaving SCAD and ARPS and is unhappy, which is impossible because the firm is very powerful and doing well. If you say things negative about your employer, most people that do that, if you ask them about the job prior to that, they'll say negative things. If you ask them about the job prior to that, they'll say negative things. So if you start saying negative things about your employer,
the interviewer is going to wonder if you're going to have the same problems again if they hire you. And also, if you are saying negative things about your employer, you'll probably be saying negative things about your coworkers. You'll probably be saying negative things about clients. And that's just not a state of mind you want to be in. It makes you look disloyal. If somebody's been paying you money and you've been getting paid by them for a long period of time, a year, 6 months, you should be loyal to them. That's why people break up into groups and tribes. So if you're part of an employer, that's a group and tribe. There's nothing wrong with leaving that tribe. But if you start looking disloyal, then the interviewer is going to know you're probably going to do the same thing to them. No employer is perfect, and they certainly don't want to see people walking around saying negative things about them in the future as well. And so there's a lot of ways you can answer that while you're leaving or left the job without trashing the employer. People, by the way, can be in all sorts of circumstances in employers that aren't ideal. You could be in a bad practice group where there's problems. You could be have only one person you're working with that's a tyrant. All these things happen. And I've seen them happen to tons of people. But when you say you're leaving, there's good reasons and there's bad reasons. So some of the reasons that don't necessarily trash the employer, but could be considered positive would be something like you want a more team-oriented environment, or the commute to work is too long. It's just too far of a commute. You live on another side of town. It takes you an hour and a half. This next employer is within 20 minutes of your house. It will give you more time to work and bill hours. Maybe you can say you want more responsibility. If you're an associate in litigation, maybe you want to get the opportunity to take depositions or write important motions and be the author of them, or go to court. Oh, who knows? If you're a corporate attorney, maybe you want to run your own deals or have more responsibility or work with smaller clients. You can say all sorts of things like that aren't trashing your employer. Or you've always wanted to work for the law firm you're interviewing with. You tell them why the law firm is very special to you and why it's someplace that you wanted to work in a law school. You want to work now. There's things you like about it. That's good too. You can say there's no room for advancement at your existing law firm. That means you just can't possibly get ahead. There's no one has been made partner in the 20 years the office has been open, or those sorts of things.
Do you know the secrets to getting your dream legal job? We do. And one of the best things you can do is apply to jobs that fly under the radar. Applying to openings with very little competition means you stand a much higher chance of getting hired. But how do you find openings like that? For starters, you're not going to find them on major job boards, because these jobs are usually only advertised on companies' websites and in small regional publications. That is why we created LawCrossing, the most comprehensive database of legal jobs in the world. We have a team of people constantly working to find every single legal job out there. Unlike other job boards, which only list jobs that companies pay to post, we include every legal job we can find in order to maximize your chances of finding a job. So, what are you waiting for? Head over to www.lawcrossing.com to find your dream legal job today.
Or you want to work at a larger law firm. That's another one. So if you may want to work at a larger law firm, that's also very important. If you're at a smaller law firm, many times it's going to determine the type of cases you are, the type of clients you have. So a smaller law firm will have something in the neighborhood of maybe working for small to mid-sized clients where you're not working on important matters. And so if you work at a larger firm, that's going to be very helpful for you as well, because you'll get to work on larger matters. Those will pay more money. You'll get exposed to more better things. Or you may say you want to work at a smaller firm where you can have more responsibility and it's easier to bring in clients. Or you say that the law firm is going in a direction, that the new law firm is going in a direction that's very exciting to you. And that's always a good thing. So if the law firm is doing great things in your practice area or gotten these great deals or publicity, that's good. Or you say you've heard other good things about the law firm from other employees. So that those are all very positive things. So you take the reason you're leaving, if they're asking you, or you need to imply it, and you need to say good things about the employer instead.
And I will tell you like how important it is to law firms. So I've worked with tens of thousands of attorneys, me personally, and then members of our staff, like that have
worked with them in law firms. And what a law firm does, they always do, they always call and or email, and they say almost always, not always, but if a law firm is it was very hard to get people to work there and it's paying $40,000 a year or something, they won't necessarily ask that if it's hard for them to get people. But most law firms that are halfway desirable to get a position in will always ask why they want to leave. Why are they interested? What is going on? Because they don't want to hear that you're losing your job. They don't want to hear that you don't like the people. They don't want to hear that all sorts of negative things. They want to basically believe that you like them or that there's something that they offer that you aren't getting your current employer. And I really want to stress this because this is so important. It's really important. So what happens is most candidates, not all, but most candidates that get a position, and this is very important, you should write it down, you should remember it, you should think about it with every interview you go into. Every time you go into a firm, you need to portray it, and you're certain going into interview there as upward mobility, meaning I want to go to the smaller firm that pays less because I want more responsibility. I want better opportunities to make partner. I want the ability to generate business where it's impossible at this big firm. Or if you're going to a big firm, I've always dreamed of being in a firm. This is my dream job. This is whatever it is. It needs to look like you're moving up. And this is so important because the majority of people that get offers from every employer do that. So I just want to be really clear how important this is. If you portray yourself as moving up, no matter what the firm is, no matter what the job is, then you're going to be in very good shape. So you need to figure it out. You're practicing commercial litigation at a huge firm and you want to go do personal injury law. You want to help people. It's exciting to do this. It's everyone that does this does very well. But you have to portray every single employer that you go into. You need to think that they're a better option for you than whatever you're doing now. And it's very important. Some of the worst interviews that I have ever had personally have been where I've gone into a small law firm and basically wanted to interview or get a job with a big law firm. And they ask me where I'm interviewing, and I tell them other big firms and then our big firms. And I give no effective explanation for why I'm going to work there and why it's a move up. And that's it. I remember, I'll never forget this. It was, there were these firms that came to my law school in the first year to interview for first years to work as summer associates. I don't know if that still goes on, but they would interview. And some of the firms would be giant firms and some of them would be smaller firms. And I'll just never forget this guy that he got offers from probably 10, the top 8 of 10 Am Law 100 law firms, but he just an incredible guy. But he went in an interview. There was a small firm from South Carolina of 5 or 6 attorneys. And I was sitting outside the interview room because I was interviewing with them next. They were just interviewing people to be first-year summer associates. And he gave the most incredible performance I have ever seen. He talked about how he wanted to live in a small town. He wanted to practice law like it's meant to be practiced and all this stuff to make it look like he was moving up. It was absolutely incredible, even though he ended up being a summer associate in some crazy firm like Wachtell or something. But the way he did it was incredible. So you need to portray yourself as moving up. And I don't want to spend too much time on this, but don't say bad things about your current employer. Portray yourself as moving up. The other thing that people do that I really don't like is, and it's actually very common, and people do this all the time. Law firms will just, most, not large law firms, but most law firms will also call and say, what are their salary expectations? Like, how much do they want to make? And law firms don't like it when it's brought up early in the interviews. Sometimes you'll go and do an interview and you'll have no idea. You'll have no idea what the employer pays. But you'll get the interview, and the law firm could be small, it could be large size firm, it could be in the Midwest, it could be on a coast. You just don't know. So you get into the interview and you start talking about salaries. And the employer's purpose in interviewing you is to see if you can
do the job and fit in with the employer. So that's the main purpose. But when you bring up salary and benefits, you're actually at the point where you're presuming you already have a job. Now, sometimes the law firms will ask you, how much do you want to make? Or they'll say, what are your salary expectations? And the correct answer to that is, I would like to be paid fairly according to what other people are making at your firm in a comparable firm, something like that. And they'll say, what do you think that is? And you'll say, I don't know what people are being paid at your firm. I'm assuming this is something we would talk about if things move forward. So you don't let them bring it up. When you bring it up early in the discussion, you automatically disqualify yourself from a lot of jobs. It's negotiable, by the way. Almost every salary is negotiable, but you sure as heck don't want to bring it up before you bond with everyone and they like you and you know how things are going to work. It's a huge mistake. Why would you possibly want to bring it up right away? It's crazy because you're just disqualifying yourself for jobs. I see people all the time that are in certain markets and literally they're unemployed and not working, and they get an interview. I see this literally every day because I look at candidates and I follow up with people in BCG that don't have jobs, and I review their resume and their practice settings and stuff every day to make sure I'm doing the best I can. And our staff does the same thing because it's urgent that they get a position because they're unemployed, or some of them are regular about to get unemployed. And so then they get an interview and the firm says, instead of paying $250,000 a year, they pay $200,000, and the person's not working. And they say, no, I want to make this amount. And so it might be the only interview they get for weeks or longer, and yet they stay unemployed. I don't understand the logic of this.
So you need to go in and not talk about salary. You need to get a job first, and you need to not worry about it when you go into interviews. That is crazy. Like, the other thing I want to bring up too, just so everyone understands. Now, if you are a partner level attorney, then you have a lot more negotiation room, especially if you have business. But if you're an associate, you typically don't. So if you're an associate between 1 and 4 or 5 years of experience, any job you get is just a learning experience. You're getting paid essentially to learn on the job. And so you should not, and people don't believe this, but you should not be overly concerned with your salary early in your career. Now, if you're a fifth year or sixth year, then your concern is becoming a partner. And again, if you can become a partner and make a lot more money, then salary might not be the most important thing to you. But focusing on salary early in your career is very risky, because if you're getting paid a high salary, the odds of you making partner or advancing are very slim. You're going to be working on large clients. In order to succeed at that firm, you're going to need to bring in huge clients, which is almost impossible for an associate. So there's a lot of problems with talking about salary that early in your career. Now, you can bring it up in when you're negotiating after you get an offer, or you can say, this is what I'd like. And if it's, you can get a job at a comparable firm paying more, than you can, but that's fine. But you have to, if you bring up salary and benefits early in the interview, you're taking control, and the employer wants to feel in control. They want to feel like they're important, like you want to work there, like they've got a good job, like it's moving up, all these sorts of things. But if you seize control and say, I'm worth more than you're paying, then that's not good. That's going to hurt you. And I've seen people say, this is what the job pays. I'm making much more than that right now. Or when they hear the salary, their face just immediately goes down and they're not excited anymore. And so if the interviewer is still trying to figure out if you're right for the job, if you have the experience, if you like them, if it's moving up, then bringing up your salary at this point is not a good idea. And if the interviewer really likes you, they'll ask how much you're currently making or made in your last job. And you can certainly tell them that if you want. You can say, this is what I'm making, or this is what I made. And many times they will, but I say, I'm not wedded to that number. I'm just trying to find the best place to work at the moment. But a lot of times if the employer likes you, they will pay the same amount. They will
then because they figure that they would rather work with someone they like and pay them a good amount or someone that's competent than not pay, than be cheaper than other people.
Do you want to grow your legal career? A lateral move might be the right choice to get you on track for your career goals. Working with a legal placement firm like BCG Attorney Search can open doors for you and help you live the life you dream of. If you're looking for a new legal job, send us your resume so we can help. Visit www.bcgsearch.com and click on Submit Resume to be paired with one of our legal placement professionals who will work tirelessly on your behalf to get you your dream legal job. Submit your resume to www.bcgsearch.com to get started today.
Your goal in the interview is really to make people like you and want to hire you. That's it. So if you get the employer to like you and want to hire you, then you're much more likely to get a good salary. If you start talking about money early on, you literally will put the brakes on. And I see this every day. I see people that are trying to get a job and they've applied to a lot of places and they might be in a very slow practice area. For example, corporate's very slow right now. And in some, like corporate securities is very slow. So if someone gets a corporate securities job when everyone else is losing their job, they probably should do whatever they can to get that so they don't have a like a period of unemployment on their resume. And then, but you just can't talk about money early on. You need to be very careful with that. And you need to try to get the offer first and then deflect the conversation until later. That's what you do. You don't turn sour in the job before. You need to get the job, because once you have a job, you're in much better shape. You can go into other interviews with confidence. There's so many benefits to making sure that you're not talking about money early on, because again, it turns off. So many people will not go on an interview, even if they've lost their job or are losing their job, if the salary's not right. It's crazy. So you need to get a job. You need to get the job first. So a lot of times people will ask questions that show they might be problematic or they might not be fully committed. And this is just ridiculous. Here are some of the questions that people ask that get them disqualified immediately from jobs during interviews. They'll ask things like overtime is meaning, do people stay after 5? Do people stay after 7? How late do people work? I have to get home at a certain time. If the employer thinks you're a clock watcher and not working extra hours is something you don't want to do, and they're going to feel uncomfortable giving you work later in the evening and so forth, or if that's expected at that firm, that's an immediate disqualification. No interviewer wants to hear this. Now, you're entitled to not want to work long hours or stay at the office later or not take calls on the weekends. Those things are all fine. But if you ask that in an interview, then you're going to disqualify yourself, because the law firm is going to hire someone that doesn't do that. They're going to choose between someone that doesn't like working long hours and someone that does. If you were an employer, what would you do if that was a requirement? You would immediately not take that person off your list. Of course you would, because you're comparing two people or to you, or one person to you, one person that's gung-ho to work long hours and doesn't bring it up, and another person that does. And then a lot of people will want to bill extra hours so they can make extra money. And a lot of these people are very inefficient, so they'll ask that. So I don't know if that's that important. Other people will ask, how long does it take to make partner? How often do they get raises and so forth? And in general, the employer is interviewing you because they have a need for someone to do the work, and they don't have an opening for someone above you. When you're asking the employer that, you may give them an indication that you're not going to be happy at the next position you're being interviewed for. Working from home is a big one. So a lot of law firms now do not like remote work. They're against remote work. They want people in the office. Now, many don't. Many partners love working at home, and I was talking to a partner at a big firm in Miami a couple of days ago, and she was wanting to go to another firm because no one was coming to the office. And she felt like she needed to walk around and give people work. So that sometimes is not something that could go both ways. But in a lot of law firms, this is definitely a career killer, meaning this question is something, if you ask it, that How much remote work can I do? How much? Because you don't know what the expectations are. You don't know how many days a week they want you there. You just don't know any of that. So if you don't know any of that, it's going to put you in a very bad position if you're trying to making that a priority. Some law firms, not all, and not even as more than 50% are requiring people to be in the office. And so you need to think about that. And a lot of people have had bad experiences with that. I've seen a lot of people scam law firms when they're working from home. I had one guy that said he needed to be home a couple days a week to take care of his sick wife or take her to the doctor or something. And then I found out he was a patent attorney, that he had never quit his job as an engineer for Oracle, making an incredible salary. So he was working two jobs at the same time and certainly taking calls on his cell phone while I was at the other job. People play all sorts of games when they do it. This is a funny one. People ask about a paternity leave policy. I don't know why, but asking about these things is not, often doesn't go over. I'm not taking sides in politics or anything here or about this, but sometimes when people ask this, it doesn't have. Sometimes people ask about taking a vacation. Now, there is an exception to that. Sometimes people will say, I need a few weeks off because I got a lot of things I need to take care of, or I need to visit something or my parents or something. So that is perfectly fine. Sometimes people will say, I already have a vacation planned for this date. Is that okay if I take that after I start? And asking that, and you ask these questions at the stage after you've received an offer. You don't want to ask about vacations and so forth right away, like in an interview. So people asking, can I take a vacation 3 weeks after if I get an offer, can I do this, is not a good idea. Anything that's assumptive, challenged, sometimes people will come in and say, I really need to get more responsibility. I need to be, and that's not always a good idea as well. So meaning by challenged, sometimes people will say, I really want to run my own deals. I want to be able to go to trial. I want to be able to do this and do that. And if you say that sort of thing, you will give the impression that you will not be willing to stand up and do different types of busy work if you're asked and pitch in. So and this is not just for law firms, this is for any employer. If you go into any interview with a law firm and you act like you will only do certain types of work, that's very harmful, because law firms hate that. There are people that law firms hire that they give them a couple of assignments that they may consider beneath their pay grade. And because of that, they don't do it, or they're hostile about it, or they say, can you give someone more junior than me? This sounds like a paralegal's job. This happens all the time. And so if you tell people that you don't want to do that kind of work, then it's going to be very harmful. It makes it look like you have a sense of entitlement. If it's regardless of what the task is, if you're not going to do it, who's going to do it? You have just, and so you just have to be very careful about this. And people do this all the time.
That's all the time we have for this edition of the show. If you are an attorney looking for a change, head on to bcgsearch.com.